Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning and to be a child of the Most High. Thanking God for waking me up this morning, clothing my right mind. Hallelujah. And the word that the Lord gave me today comes out of Psalms 129. And it's simply the blessings of the Lord be upon you. And then the word that God gave me came from Hebrews 13. The rest of our title this morning is Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, we want his blessings to be upon us because he has never changed. He was there then, he's there now, and he will be there with God forevermore. And we are blessed to be children of the Most High God. So I'm thanking God this morning for each of you and asking that his blessings be upon you. Father God in heaven, we come together this morning. Lord God, thankful, grateful, and blessed to be your children, to know that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Father, we ask that you increase as we decrease. Let the words of my mouth, O God, and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength. You, Lord God, are my redeemer. And in you I look up, lift up, giving honor, glory, and praise. In the name of the matchless Savior, who is the same and who was the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And it's in his name I pray, lifting up his name and this word to you, O God. Amen, amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength on this very, very cold day. 23 degrees outside. Whew, it's cold. So I hope that you all bundle up this morning. Those that live in central Illinois, bundle up. It is cold outside. And I'm sure that some of the other areas are just as cold. Bundle up, but know that the Lord God is with you wherever you are going this morning. Highways, byways, getting ready to travel for Thanksgiving to family and friends. I pray that the angels of heaven watch over you, cover you, and guide you. Now and forevermore, in Jesus' name as well. Let's get into our word this morning, because as y'all know, we normally do an Old Testament word, a New Testament word, but today God gave me a Psalm and New Testament word. We will do Ezekiel on Sunday. So we will be back in Ezekiel on Sunday. Today we will be in Psalms, Proverbs, and our New Testament word. And so Ezekiel will be on Sunday. So we're going to start in Psalms and Proverbs, and then we're going to get to Hebrews chapters 13, 14, and 15. So let's get started. We got a lot of word this morning. Psalms 129, starting at verse number 5. Let all those who hate Zion be put to shame and turned back. Let them be as the grass on the housetops, which wither before it grows up, with which the reaper does not fill his hands, nor he who binds sheaves his arms. Neither let those who pass by them say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Out of Psalms 130, verses 1 through 4, out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, oh, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. Hallelujah. What the blessings of the Lord be upon you. And then we look and we say, but for if, Lord, should, if you, Lord, should mark iniquities, oh, Lord, who could stand? We are blessed that to be a blessing that God has given us. But there is forgiveness with you that we may be feared. That you may be feared. Don't get it twisted. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Psalms 130, verses 5 through 8. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. And in his word, I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. Oh, Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Again, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Same yesterday, today, and forevermore. We are blessed beyond measure to be children of the Most High God. As we go into our Proverbs this morning, Proverbs 28:27 is where we're starting. He who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses. Excuse me, y'all. We got to know who we belong to. When the wicked arise, men hide themselves. But when they perish, the righteous increase. Proverbs 28:28. Proverbs 29. He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy. Wow. What a word. What a word. God is with us. He loves us. He wants the best for us. And we must meditate constantly on his word. And his word is the same. And I'm sorry. Y'all forgive y'all so. I think I said Hebrews chapter 13, 14, 15. Hebrews, Holy Ghost, chapter 13, y'all. So please forgive me because I know better. And we're going to start a new book today also. So you know what we do when we have a new book. We have Know Your Bible. As Pastor Pugh would say, Know Your Bible. Know Your Bible. We got to know our Bible and know how many chapters there are in a book, you know. And I'm going to tell you, when I had to take my test for my degree, one of them, it was hard. It was the hardest test I have ever taken in my life. The Bible is no joke. It is no joke, especially when it's essay. Help me, Jesus. That's all I could say. And he did. Thank you, Lord. So we got to understand that the word of God is so important. So let's get into our Hebrews 13 word, which is the title. Hebrews 13 as well as Psalms 29, verse number 8. And again, it's verse number 8, part of verse number 8. And it is the blessing of the Lord be upon you. But then we have Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You hear it, now you know it comes out of Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 8. We are blessed that Jesus is the same. We are blessed that he gave his life for us, that he loved us enough that he sent every day, every minute, every hour, every second, interceding for us with the Father. We are blessed. Blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed when we go, and blessed when we go. Because Jesus is our intercessor. Thanking him this morning. And let us continue. And our word comes out of Hebrews chapter 13. And it says, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers. For by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. And, you know, I always wonder, we get all caught up in the rhetoric of everything other than God. We get caught up in politics. We get caught up in he said, she said. We get caught up in all the stuff that has no importance. You know, this group versus that group. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I'm, you know, I'm going to, and everyone wanting to do what they want to do. But the question is, are we doing what God says do? And understand this, you know, I had to do some praying and then some repenting. And I know what I'm about to say might be a little controversial, but I'm going to say it. You know, when it comes to vaccinations, I am a total, I believe that vaccinations are important. You know, we've been being vaccinated since we were children. I mean, I got that scar on my arm like everybody else from my generation, but we got a shot. But I also understand that there are some people that their convictions will not allow them to do it because they believe that that's what God is telling them. And who am I to tell somebody, well, God didn't tell you that because God didn't tell me that. But my situation may be different from that situation. And if God is protecting me being vaccinated, then why would he not protect them not being vaccinated? So I say we need to get out of that holy roller moment where, you know, each individual has to pray and let God guide them. And whatever God guides you to do, that's what you do. But don't vilify someone who did this, who is vaccinated, and you're not. And vaccinated, don't vilify those that are unvaccinated. Because if God is protecting you, why would he not protect them? And that's a hard thing to say because I was on my holy roller moment that unvaccinated were selfish. They were this, they were that. And God really convicted me about that. He said, because I told you to do it, what makes you think I didn't tell them not to? So I ask forgiveness because I pray that, you know, whatever God's will is for you, I'm grateful that he was protecting you. He is watching over you. And I continue to ask him to protect those that are unvaccinated as well as protect those that are. But we are all in this together. And I love the word that says, let brotherly love continue. So I say to us, we got to get out of this fight over everything. We fighting over stuff that's not important because God loves us all equally. He wants us all to be brothers, and this is a word that, you know, we have to keep in our heart as well. Do not forget to entertain strangers. For so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. And I know I've spoken this before. I mean, I've been doing this show for several years, so I know I've given this testimony, but I'm going to give it again about entertaining strangers. I had a situation when I was working, and it was a day I was at work. I had gone out for lunch, and it just started to pour down rain. And I'm one of those people, I keep umbrellas. I don't know why. I have several umbrellas in my car. You know, one might be under the driver's seat, one might be under the passenger seat, one may be in the trunk. You know, I just have umbrellas. And so this particular day, I had an umbrella, and I saw this young woman with a stroller and a baby, and she did not have an umbrella. And I had a very nice, I mean, this was a very nice umbrella, and it, but it was big and really nice. And I felt the spirit of the Lord say, give her your umbrella. And, you know, the flesh of you would say, but it's raining, Lord. I'm going to get wet. I had on a raincoat. I thought, no biggie. I put my hood up, and I walked over to her. She was kind of under this little overpass, and I said, ma'am, I said, I see you and your baby out here without. I said, here, take my umbrella. You can have it. God bless you. And, you know, asked her what church she went to and invited her to my church and, you know, gave her my umbrella and went to my trunk to get another umbrella out. And so I saw her walking with the baby and the umbrella over the baby carriage. And, you know, they were doing fine. And I opened up my trunk to get another umbrella. And when I put the trunk down, she was gone. And there was no place to go. I should have seen her, because, I mean, we're talking seconds here. Put the truck down. She's gone. And I don't know why I just started to cry. Because I felt this. You just entertained an angel. By not being selfish, you gave this woman that you thought was a woman and her child an umbrella. You just entertained an angel. Disappeared. There was nowhere to go. The house that was there, it was all boarded up and wooded up. There was no place to go. Where could she go in less than a second with a baby carriage and an umbrella? Don't be surprised how many times you've entertained angels unaware by being kind. Acts of kindness. Whew. Go a long way. It's happened to me more than once. You know, I've been one of those people, you know, get to the stop sign, just to carry a book bag for work, and I'll just throw stacks and stuff in there because you just never know. When you need food. And I always had like, I call them a meal ready, but it's like you get a box and it's got tuna salad, chicken salad, crackers. And I was just used to carry those in a bag, in my bag, my book bag. And so one day, there's this person that was sitting on the corner and just, you know, had the hungry sign up. You know, so I reached in my bag, gave them the tuna salad. I had some chips and I had some water and I gave it to them. And when I came back around, they're gone. There was like nobody had been at that corner. It was the craziest, weirdest thing. And I thought about this passage again. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers. But by doing so, some have unwillingly entertained angels. And I believe in my heart that there have been times that I've entertained angels and didn't know it. But just had that, ooh, that was weird kind of thing in your mind. But then it tells us again, remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated since you yourselves are in the body also. I retired from corrections, Department of Corrections. And I can tell you, because of where I worked, I got the letters of complaints. The things that were going on in some of the prisons. And I tell you, I had a boss, and I am so grateful that, you know, if he found that food wasn't being served right, he would say, okay, whatever you feeding them, you got to eat. And he would tell that to the guards and to the people working in the kitchen. Needless to say, food improved because he didn't play that because he was a man of God. And that's what we have to be. Men and women of God, don't get caught up in the world, caught up in Jesus. And it says this, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also, we are all children of God, even those that are incarcerated, can repent, can ask for forgiveness, and may wind up in heaven where we may wind up in hell. So don't get caught up in, you know, putting yourself on the holy pedestal. But we are all children of God. And this is what it says. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornication and adulterers God will judge. Can I read that again? Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Don't play with your marriage. For those that are married, don't mess around on your husbands or your wives. The boo-boos and them down the street are not worth your life, are not worth your judgment, are not worth hell. You know, I remember as a youngster growing up with the song, me and Mrs. Jones had a thing going on. I know that is wrong. And, you know, as a kid, you're like, ooh, that's a cool slow dance song. Until you get a little bit older and you start listening to the words, you're like, oh, my God, that's talking about adultery. Especially when I got into my teens where I, you know, started going to Bible study and studying and listening and reading and getting into that pre-ministry group that I was a part of. And I started listening to lyrics to songs, and I thought, that is adultery. They are talking about adultery. So I couldn't listen to me and Ms. Jones because we didn't want a thing going on because he was an adulterer. And then what is it? Then as we got into the 80s and Whitney and Saving All My Love for You, again, an adulterer song. Folks committing adultery. We got to understand. You got to be careful what you put into your mind and into your ear gate. Because some of this stuff that you listen to, you jamming. And you realize, oh, my gosh, she's talking about adultery. You know, we get into our oh, my, that is just so wrong attitude. But we better understand that God is the judge. God is the judge, but repentant. Repent and move forward. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Ooh, the Joneses just got a new Mercedes-Benz. Well, I want me a Mercedes-Benz. Ooh, the Joneses just got, ooh, is she driving a Lexus? Girl, I wish I was Miss Jones. No, you don't. You don't want the debt that the Joneses got. Don't look at what somebody has because you don't know their story. Be grateful for what you have. The Word of God has told us in the top 10, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. These are top 10. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? That should be a lament for so many of us. As we go through, when we're going through, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Put that in your biblical arsenal, in your verses when you pray. Father God, I know you are my Lord and my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Because you said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We got to stand on the word of God. It says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not different today than he was yesterday. He's not going to be different tomorrow than he is today. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Hallelujah. Can I say it again? But do not forget to do good and to share, for which such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Not me, not Pastor Bridget, not Pastor you, not any of us. We are all God's people, not Pastor Yo, not my pastor, Pastor Jesse, or Pastor Paul, but the word is what we stand on. Wherever we go, we stand on the word of God. And the word of God tells us to do good. And it tells us this. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. And as we go, and let us continue. It says, I want to go back. I just got to go back. I want to start this. Therefore, Jesus. I want to say that again. Therefore, Jesus. I got to go back. Lord, thank you. I want to go back to verse 7. So go back with me to verse 7. And it says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Do not be carried about with various strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart be established by what? Grace. Not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. Which we have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp bearing his reproach. For there we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, but with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. I had to go back and get that all in there one more time. And it goes on to tell us, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Don't get mad at your pastors. Don't get mad at those that are your shepherds, your overseers, your elders. If they're telling you the right thing to do, don't get mad. Just do right. Do good. Pray for them. Lift them up. And if you are going to a non-believing church, then pack your Bible up and move. Just because grandma went there, just because grandpa went there, just because mom and dad go there, if you know that what they are preaching is not right and is not in the word of God, pack up your Bible and move. When you are an adult, you can go where you need to go. Don't get caught up in tradition, in doctrine. Get caught up in Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as we continue this, it says, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Understand, we as teachers and preachers, we are accountable. for what we teach. We are accountable for what we preach. We are accountable to God. And honestly, I want to preach the word of God and nothing else. Because the word of God says, pray for us. But we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you though sooner. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good works to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I appeal to you, this is Paul speaking, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in few words. Know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. Greet all those who rule over you and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be with you all. Amen. For we know he was in prison in Rome. He was in prison. But we understand that Hebrews is one of those words that was written by Paul and Luke, Barnabas, Apollos, have all been suggested. But we believe that it was Paul who wrote this book. At least that's what I believe. That's what I was taught. You know, and I have some life lessons for this word this morning. And the first one is Jesus Christ is the same forever today. Yes. Yesterday, today, and forever. And this is what Dr. Stanley said. He said, just like his father, the everlasting God, Genesis 21 and 33, whose ways are everlasting, Habakkuk 3 and 6, and who says, I do not change. So Jesus remains the same forever. Malachi 3 and 6, I do not change. And then Dr. Stanley gave us some answers to life questions. How can I claim God's promises? By some counts, God has issued more than 40,000 promises in the Bible. That's a lot of promises. But sometimes it can be difficult to determine how to properly respond to God's awesome assurance. Can y'all say that again? 40,000 promises. More than 40,000 promises. The first thing to keep in mind is that the Bible contains two kinds of divine promises. So you might want to get your pen and paper out. The first one is limited promises. God has made many promises to specific people living in particular circumstances for explicit purposes. These promises are definitely not one size fits all. If you try to claim these promises for yourself, you're headed for trouble. For example, the resurrected Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the promises of the Father, and that as they did, they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1. It would be foolish for you to travel to Jerusalem and wait there to receive this promise, since Jesus already fulfilled it that first Pentecost. Today, the Spirit baptizes every believer into the body of Christ and takes up residence within at the very moment that person trusts in Christ. Jesus gave his promise to a specific group of people at a particular time for an explicit purpose. It isn't for anyone else to claim. General promises. So we got the first one, which is limited promises. The second is general promises. God has made many universal promises applicable to all his children throughout all of history. For example, he promised to never leave or forsake us, Hebrews 13 and 5. He also promised many times to return for us, see John 14, 3. These promises pertain to all believers across all time, yet general promises can also be of two types. So the first of general promises is conditional promises. Texts like Philippians 4:19, Psalms 37:4, and others contain conditional promises to receive the benefit offered. We have to meet some condition. Conditional promises require something of the believer. In Philippians 4:19, the condition is that we be in Christ. The believer must be living for him in total submission to his will. The same holds true for delighting in the Lord, as stated in Psalms 37:4. Clearly, a relationship comes before a request. We got to know the Father. We got to know the Son. We got to know the Holy Spirit. And then number, that was A, conditional promises. B is unconditional promises. Unconditional promises require nothing of the believer. The promises mentioned above in Hebrews 13:5 and John 14:13 are of this type. God will fulfill these promises because he has pledged to fulfill them. Nothing anyone does can alter his commitment or change his plans. He will keep these promises not because of anything we do, because of his own faithfulness. We are blessed to be children of a faithful Father. Hebrews 13:13, life lesson, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Identification with Jesus brings undeniable blessings, but it can also bring reproach and persecution. This is not something to be avoided at all costs, but rather something to be embraced when it occurs. Don't be afraid to tell folks that you are a believer. Don't be afraid to say, I'm a Christian, or I'm a believer, or I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Don't be afraid to stand up for Jesus, because we all know who we are. You know who you are in Christ. Don't be afraid for Jesus, for you I live, for you I die. We got to live for God. Be willing to die, just like he said, because to die is to live. Isn't that what it says in the word? And as we go through, it says in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21, it says, now may the Lord of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will. Again, not just good works, but to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And this is what Dr. Staley says, and he says, it is God working in us that enables us to do anything worthwhile for his kingdom. We obey God, do his will, and please him only by relying on the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. And we are in a new book today also. We are in James. Oh, hallelujah. James. And let's get our little book out. Y'all know how we do. James. Probably the brother of Jesus. See Matthew 13:55 and Mark 6:3. The date it was probably written was around AD 60. In 10 words or less, real Christian faith is shown by one's good works. Please detail. Though the Apostle Paul clearly taught that salvation is by faith alone and not by good works, Romans 3:28, James clarifies that good works will follow true faith. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? James encourages Christians to everyday life to view trials as opportunities for spiritual growth, to control their tongues, to make peace, to avoid favoritism, and to help the needy. The bottom line, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. Quotable, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. 4:8 of James. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5:16. Ooh, that's a word. Unique and unusual. For those who think it enough just to believe in God, James says the devils also believe and tremble. James chapter 2, verse 19. life-changing faith in Jesus is the key. So what? Want practical wisdom for living the Christian life? You'll find it all through the book of James. I am excited. Let's get into James this morning. And it says this, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that, that's a quotable, highlightable. The testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in what? Faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, stable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exhortation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flowers fall, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuit. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Y'all better hear it. Do not be deceived, my beloved brother. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And I'm reading that again. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And I gotta read that one more time. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. But if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious, come on now, and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And we're going to do life lessons after we do James chapter 2. Ooh, this is such a good word. James chapter 2. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory with partiality. Which, remember our title, Jesus what? It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. But if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you stay here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand here, you stand there, or sit here at my footstool, have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? That's for ushers. That's a word for the ushers, y'all. Listen, my beloved brother, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well, but if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. But he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and do, and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works? She received the messengers and sent them out another way. For the body without the spirit is dead. So faith without works is dead also. Whew. Pastor James, Apostle James, is speaking this morning. Wow, what a word. And a life lesson, life lessons from James chapter 1. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And Dr. Stanley says there is nothing joyful about trials. In and of themselves, there is no value in suffering for its own sake. God uses both trials and suffering to test our faith so that we may learn to patiently endure. Praise the Lord. We all going through. But know that with faith, God will work it all out for our good. Why? Because he said so in his word. Life lesson, James chapter 1, verse 13. God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. To say that God tempts anyone to sin is to confuse the Lord with the devil. The whole satanic purpose of temptation is to entice people away from God and his best for them. James chapter 1, 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light. And again, Dr. Sandler says, do you enjoy good health and a roof over your head? If so, that's God's gift. Do you have enough to eat, a solid church home, some faithful friends, a source of income? A generous God bestows them all. So we say, thank you, Lord. Yes, we all have things that we go through. But, you know, I believe it was Morning Glory Nation. I was listening to Pastor Fred, and it might even have been Dr. Stanley. I'm not sure which one, or it might even have been my own pastor that said, if all your situation, all your things that you're going through can be solved by a check, you don't have any problems. Your issue, you're fine. If everything that you're going through can be solved by a check, then you can't complain. Don't complain. You're all good. Because there are people that are going through a whole lot more that a check can't solve. So if a check can solve all your problems, you don't have any problems. You thank God that everything will work out for your good. James chapter 1, verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Our culture tends to consider people spiritual merely if they have an interest in spiritual things. This is not the biblical perspective. Only those who hear God's voice and obey it are spiritual. That's what Dr. Sam said. I believe that you got to do. You can't just hear it, but you got to do it. We got to go out and go to work. We say it all the time on this show. It's time to go to work. And we got to go to work. Who do we work for? We work for God. Every time you walk out your door, you are working for God. Anytime anybody sees you, they are seeing the work that you do for God. When you say good morning with a smile on your face, when you are kind, when you are generous, when you are loving, when you are a person of God, you are doing the word. You're not only hearing it, but you're working it. And this is what Dr. Stanley says, and I'm going to give this word. How does God teach me patience? We all have a moment where we are not patient with each other. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. He said, patience has been defined as learning to accept difficult situations as from God without giving him a deadline for their removal. We know we need it, but we generally shun the process by which we learn it. Ours is the now generation. We want it now. We cannot wait for God's direction, so we move ahead on our own initiative. We cannot wait for sex and marriage, so we damage the relationship by demanding immediate gratification. We cannot wait for our wealth to grow, so we prefer to give rich quick schemes. Come on now. Striving to have it all now is costly and disappointing approach to life. The Old Testament admonishes us, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord, Psalms 27 and 14. And it promises those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth, Psalms 37 and 9. In the New Testament parable of the sower, we read, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, kept it and bear fruit with patience. We got to be patient. God may require us to wait for our needs and desires for any of several reasons. What we want is right for us, but we are not yet ready for it. Been there, done that, got it, and wasn't ready for it. Our motivation for having it opposes God's purpose for us. God is trying to get our attention about some hidden sin in our life. God wants to teach us discipline through waiting. Getting what we want would have a negative effect on someone else. God wants to teach us to depend on him, not on ourselves or others. You better preach, Dr. Stanley. God wants to teach us to trust his ways and timing and to learn that they are best. Ooh, thank you, God, for this word. How do we learn patience? Through trials and tribulation, the Bible encourages us to count it all joy when we face trying times. But why? Not because it is pleasant, but because it is profitable. Trials produce patience, James 1, James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Tribulations produce patience, Romans 5 and 3. In times of difficulty, we learn to endure, to bear up, to persevere, to keep holding on with no help in sight. When we can do so without setting a deadline for surrender, then we have developed one of life's greatest qualities, patience. We have to have it, y'all. You know, we are all going through in our own ways. You don't know what your brother or sister's going through because some people keep their situations to themselves. And it's all right. But we have to have patience. James chapter 2, verse 5, life lesson. Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom? Earthly riches do not equal spiritual wealth. And any more than in economic destitution indicates spiritual poverty. Those who love God regardless of their earthly financial positions are rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom. Whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. James means that all sin is a violation of God's holy character. And therefore, you oppose not only his commandment, but him. Psalms 51 and 4. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. James chapter 2, verse 18. James has no quarrel with faith. He understands that faith alone can save someone. What he opposes is a phony faith, the kind that supposedly exists without giving any practical confirmation of its existence. Belief in God is not the same as faith in God. Demons believe that God exists. They also believe that Christ rose from the grave, but they do not willingly submit to his will or eagerly put their destiny in his hands. You know, you'll hear folks say, oh, I believe in a higher power, a higher power. Do you believe in God, faith in Jesus Christ, that he will return? We got to understand that God is in charge of everything and that Jesus has not changed. We have to know who we belong to. And I just thank God for this mighty word this morning. And I thank each and every one of you for listening in today. For God is so good, and I am so grateful. Be God's daughter to be a child of God.